It is incumbent upon every member of the body of Christ to send the light of the gospel, as this song indicates. That responsibility is not on just an evangelist, not upon just one person, but upon all of us to spread the glorious gospel of the Son of God. Your presence is indicative of your interest in things divine, and we're elated with that presence, and we're glad to have you. We have visitors with us today, and we want to give you that warm welcome to come back and be with us here at West Boonville. You know, ladies and gentlemen, one of the great parables of the Bible is the parable of the sower and the seed, as it is called in Luke 8. Sometimes we call this the parable of the soils because it indicates various relationships that people have to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to talk for a little while today on this parable, and I titled my sermon, Which Man Are You? Which Man Are You? Because I believe in this parable, Jesus depicts everybody in this audience one way or the other. Every one of us who have heard the gospel happened to be described in this parable. You know, Jesus spoke in parables. A parable is a prolonged metaphor. It is a physical story with a spiritual meaning. And parables either had already happened or could happen, but a fable never happens, and so there's a difference between a fable and a parable. Jesus gave many in the Bible, and many times in his parabolic teaching, he would interpret a parable as he did this one. Sometimes he didn't. But sometimes he would tell you what this parable meant. But they all had a meaning. And this is about a man that went out to sow seed, the old broadcast type of sowing. They didn't have these modern drills that you pull behind a tractor back in those days. To sow seed, they had to swing a bag around their neck, and they reached in and got the seed, and they scattered it over the field. And sometimes that seed would fall in different places, and one place that it fell was by the wayside, was where people walked, and it was hard. The ground was very hard, and therefore the seed couldn't penetrate the ground. And Jesus used that as one of the soils in the parable, which represents some people. And when I say, which man are you, I'm using the word man in a general sense, including women, just as the Bible does. Jesus often said, if any man will come after me, but he didn't mean that women were excluded. It's used in the general sense. So when I say, which man are you, I'm using it as the Lord used it in the general sense to include humanity. Because I believe in this parable, we have four different men represented, and I believe that he had your number and he had my number, and he's going to be talking about you as well as me. In this parable, you're one of the four men who heard this gospel. Man number one. Who was he? Well, Jesus said it's the seed that fell by the wayside. And he said the devil comes along and steals the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. That's what he said. In other words, that's what the wayside seed represented, is that type of man. So here's a man, he comes to hear the gospel preached. I might be the preacher, someone else could be the preacher. But he hears a sermon, and the seed goes in, his heart is his mind. And he is stimulated to obey the gospel. He knows what the preacher said, and he understands it, and he knows what the Bible says. But he goes home, and he forgets it. Or at least it departs, the seed departs out of his mind, out of his heart, as the Bible said, lest he should believe and be saved. Now, I want you to notice two things about that. He said, lest he believe and be saved. Believing, when you believe, you're not saved. They're two different things. You can't be saved without believing, but believing does not mean salvation. That is belief alone, because he said, believe and be saved. Did you notice that? Some people say, well, when you believe, you're already saved. Wrong. You believe, and that leads to your salvation when you completely obey the gospel. You notice that in the parable in Luke 8. And so this man is represented as a man who hears a preacher preach. And it says here the devil steals or takes the word out of his heart. Now here's the devil. And I believe the devil exists. He exists in spirit form. You can't see him, but you can't see God either. But the devil steals this heart, this seed out of his heart. You know, the devil is not a fool. He's not that ignorant. He wouldn't steal dead seed out of a dead heart, because the devil's smart enough to know the power of the Word of God. And when you hear a sermon, if it's based on the Bible, the devil knows that has power in it. Romans 1:16. The power of the gospel, the power of God is in the gospel. And the devil is cognizant of that. He knows it, whether you know it or not, and whether the world knows it or not. The devil's smart enough to know how powerful that word is. Just the word I'm preaching today. It's powerful when it's received, if it's the Word of God. And indeed it is. And he knows that, so what he tries to do is to steal that word out of his heart. But the question is, how does the devil do that? Does he miraculously just reach in there into your mind and remove that sermon and that seed? No, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about that circumstances arise out here in the world whereby you have a tendency to forget the sermon. You forget the seed. That's what he's talking about. Well, someone says, what would cause that? Well, it could be just the cares of the world. You get involved in other things, and therefore you forget the sermon. It could be your business. It could be your family. He doesn't go into detail about how the devil does it, but he gets you involved in other matters enough that sermon leaves your mind lest you believe, because you can't believe unless you receive the Word of God, because that's how faith comes, Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. So the devil wants to get a sermon, this sermon that will save your soul out of your heart. And he will do that today if you hear something today which would stimulate you and make you realize that you need to get right with God. The devil will try his best to steal that out of your heart when you get home. He don't want you to remember it. And it might be through getting you involved in so many circumstances that you forget the sermon you heard. That's all that means. That's man number one. He represents a lot of people right here in Boonville who have heard me preach, who have heard other people, preachers preach, who have read the Word of God and who understands it. But and maybe at one time they thought about obeying the gospel. But they go home and some way this sermon gets out of their heart. The word, the seed gets out of their heart. The devil steals it out lest they should believe and be saved. That's what the text says. And I believe that. And I believe we have a lot of people in Boonville who fall into this category. And they are people who have never obeyed the gospel. They've never been baptized into Christ. Maybe they thought about it. Maybe they considered being baptized for the remission of sins. But the devil saw to it that the word was taken out of their heart, so they never did come forth and they never were baptized. So that's man number one. And some of you sitting in this audience or on television listening to me today may be man number one. You may say, well, that's me. I heard the sermon, but I've never been baptized. But I know I should be, and I know the Bible teaches that. But you know, I'm man number one. I've never obeyed the gospel. So the Lord was talking about me right there. And he was. He's talking about you. As I said, he had our number. The Lord had my number, and he had your number. And somewhere you are in this parable. I guarantee you, you're here somewhere. You may be man number one. You may be man number two. You may be man number three. You may be man number four. And we're going to discuss all of them. I call them, which man are you? Because that's really what he's discussing. Now, man number two. Man number two, Jesus said, is the person who receives the word with joy, but in the hour of temptation, he falls away. Well, that's interesting. That's man number two. He does what? Well, he's baptized. He does what? He receives the word of God. He obeys the gospel. He comes forward and he said, preacher, I want to be saved. And so I take his confession and I baptize him, take him down the water, and he's baptized. And what does he do when he's baptized? Why, he receives it with joy. He's just the happiest person in the world. He says, I've come up out of the water, and people have told me, said, preacher, I've never felt better in my life. And that's good. That's the way you ought to feel. The eunuch went on his way rejoicing after he's baptized. He felt real good. You should feel good after you're baptized. And he received it with joy, and everything is good. And he comes to church a time or two. and he observes the Lord's Supper, and he starts living the Christian life and being what he ought to be. But the Bible says something bad happens to man number two. It says in the hour of temptation, he said he falls away. Now that's the seed that fell on the rock, which had a thin layer of soil. Now let me explain that to you. That seed, that soil was real good. The seed fell on it, and it started to grow, and when it came, it was real green, and it looked luscious, and it looked great, and it like it's going to produce a lot of whatever, tomatoes or potatoes or whatever. But when the root tried to get down, it hit that rock, solid bedrock. Therefore, it couldn't receive nourishment, and what happened? It died. It died. Well, Lord, what is that represent? Man number two. Who is man number two? He's the man that is baptized. He's just as happy as he can be, and he's faithful for a little while, and then in the hour of temptation, he falls from grace. That's what the Lord said. I didn't say it. I'm telling you what the Lord, that's man number two. Well, we have a lot of people, may have some here in the audience, may have some in the television audience, who fall into this category because I know what I'm talking about. I baptized a lot of people, but they have not been faithful. If everybody I baptized in this baptistry was in this audience, it would almost be full right now. But they in hours of temptation, they've fallen away. They don't even go to church anymore. Someone said, but they were baptized. That's what the Lord said. And they even received it with joy. They were happy when they were baptized, but they did not remain faithful. But what caused them not to be faithful? Well, the Lord says, hour of temptation. What is temptation? Well, temptation is something that draws you away. And it falls into three categories. 1 John 2:15, one of three categories. John says it's the lust of the flesh, it's the lust of the eyes, or it's the vainglory of life. Someone said, but that covers a lot of territory, doesn't it, preacher? It sure does. So this fellow was baptized, but he went back out here and he had some temptations. Someone said, but what were these temptations? Well, the Lord doesn't go into it, but other places in the Bible, we're told what they are. One of them is the lust of the flesh, but someone says, what's that? Well, it's the uncontrolled desires and appetites of the physical body. Well, what does it include? Well, it includes lewdness, lasciviousness, fornication, adulteries, doing things you ought not to do, giving over to the flesh, to the fleshly desires. You see, God put in you certain drives, but he expects you to control them. And when you don't control them, then it becomes sin. That's what sin is. Sin is a transgression of the law. So here's this fella, and he was baptized, and he was just enthused, and he came to church a time or two. And he didn't last very long, by the way. And he went out here, and he got with his buddies again, and maybe they're on drugs. He got with the wrong crowd. Or maybe they're drinking buddies. They like to drink. And that was a temptation to him, and what happened? He fell away. Who said that? Did Ward Hoagland say that? No, that's what the book says. That's what my Lord said. And I believe the Lord. And you know, that happens to so many people. As I told you, I know I have baptized a lot of people in my life, but they're not all faithful. I wish they were. But the Lord knew what he was talking about. He said, a lot of people fall into man number two. Someone says, well, that's what I am, because years ago, preacher, I was baptized, but you know, I haven't been to church in 6 years. Well, maybe you're man number two. Jesus had your number, didn't he? Someone said, well, what caused you to quit going to church? Well, I got with the wrong crowd. And I got out here and I got to doing things I shouldn't be doing. And I knew it wouldn't do any good to go to church. And so I just quit. Well, the Lord had your number, didn't he? Well, I guess he did. You know, the Lord knew what he's talking about. He knew that not everybody that was baptized is going to be faithful. That's why he gave us this parable. He said, they received the word with joy. That is, they obeyed the gospel. But in the hour of temptation, they fell away. The temptation got the best of them. Now, as I said, temptation comes in a lot of different packages. It could be the vainglory of life, wanting to be praised and looked up to. It could be the lust of the eyes, which would be materialism and the desire of riches and money. That could get a hold of you. That could tempt you. And that could cause you to quit the church and quit the Lord, fall from grace. Fall away, which tantamount to the same thing. It all goes together. So the Lord knew. And so I may be talking to someone right now in this audience who would be represented by man number two. You just haven't been faithful. And you need to repent and ask God for forgiveness. If you're man number one, you've never obeyed the gospel. If you're man number two, you obeyed the gospel, and in the hour of temptation, you fell away. Let's go to number three. Jesus said the third man is like seed that fell among thorns, the thorns and thistles. And he said it choked the vitality out of it, and so it did not bring forth fruit to perfection or completion. Well, you know, we know that. You go out here and plant any kind of seed, and if you allow the weeds to take it over, it'll choke it. We used to raise a little cotton, even in Oklahoma. And Johnson grass would grow up. My dad said, we've got to get that Johnson grass out. It's going to choke that cotton down. Let's go down there and hoe in the cotton field. And you go down there and you scrub on that old Johnson grass to try to get it out of there. Because if you let it, it'll choke the vitality out of the cotton and you will not have a cotton crop. That's what the Lord's talking about. He used the word choked. It choked it out. But is he talking about raising cotton or corn or something? No. He's talking about man number three. Man number three also obeys the gospel. Man number three is baptized, and he starts, and he lasts longer. He really lasts longer than man number two. That man number two, he didn't last hardly any time. He just came to church two or three times, and he's gone. He didn't last long. Now, man number three lasts a little longer, but he still doesn't save his soul. Because the cares of the world, Jesus mentioned three things that got a hold of him. He says the cares and the riches of the world and the pleasures of life. Three things. Someone said, well, what did he mean by that? Well, he means that this man was baptized, but he goes out here and he gets so involved in the cares of the world. Someone says, what are the cares of the world? Well, the things in normal life, I don't think it's anything immoral necessarily. I don't think he's talking about immorality or anything of that kind. It's just raising a family and sending your kids to school and making a living and all of that. But in that, you forget the kingdom, Matthew 6:33, and you don't put it first. You put the cares of the world first. You put rearing your family more than you do the Lord, and therefore it chokes your spiritual vitality. And after a while, you're spasmodic in attendance, and sometimes you don't hardly attend at all. You don't have the love of the church and the kingdom of God in your heart and the love of God. And when you're called on to do something, you say, let someone else do it. You're not going to work in the kingdom. You're being choked by the cares of the world. And it could be the love of money, the riches. You love the almighty dollar more than you love the Lord. And it'll choke you to death spiritually. And I've seen this happen in the church. I know what I'm talking about. And then there's that pleasure. Someone said, well, what kind of pleasure was he talking about? Well, I don't think it was anything illegal or anything immoral. It's a pleasure to go to a ball game. It's a pleasure to go fishing. It's a pleasure to golf to a lot of people, not to everybody. I don't mean everybody likes to golf. But there are pleasures to eat, pleasures to go on vacations. There are a lot of pleasures in this world, and I don't believe he meant that they were bad pleasures. Now, some pleasures are immoral, but I don't believe that's what he's talking about necessarily here. He's just talking about something that people enjoy, and they enjoy that more than they do the kingdom of God, and their spiritual life is choked. I like that word, choked. Don't forget it, because the Lord used it. Are you being choked spiritually? By the love of money, by the love of pleasures, and by the cares of the world, where that you're not serving God. If so, you're a man number three. Someone says, well, preacher, you're talking about me because I'm pretty involved in things and I don't have the church at heart and I don't attend like I ought to. I attend once in a while. But I just don't have the interest in spreading the gospel and the church growing and the interest that I ought to have. Then you're man number three. You're man number three. Now, that man number two, he didn't last long. In the hour of temptation, he just fell away. I think man number three is someone who struggles for a long time, maybe in the church. He first is very faithful, and then he becomes cold and indifferent more and more, and misses more and more services. He may miss one to start with, then he misses two, then he misses three, and then he's just spasmodic, you see, just kind of hit and miss. Something's choking him. Don't you tell me it's not. Don't argue with me. Something is choking you. Admit it. You're man number three. You may be in a television audience. You may be in this audience. You're a man number three if that happened to you. Someone says, what about man number four? I want to talk about man number four. He's the man that receives the word with joy on the good soil. And some of them bring 100-fold, some 60. And he says some bring 30-fold. Someone says, well, what is that? Oh, that's that faithful member of the church. He's not man number two, one, two, or three. He's man number four. And we have some right here in this audience who are just as faithful as the day is long in serving God. We have some who are not. But we have some number fours. I like that. You need to be a number four because that'll save your soul. Someone said, that 100-fold, what does that mean? It means that man had more ability and he used that ability to the full extent within the confines of the church. He'd do anything. He could sing. He could pray. He could preach a sermon. He could do anything and anything he called on and things he wasn't called on to do. He went out here and saved souls. He's a 100-fold man. Is that your number? I hope it is. Someone said, well, when he dropped down to 60, well, that man doesn't have the ability, that 100-fold man. He just doesn't have the ability. You know, if you go to Matthew 25, you got to tie it in with this. The Lord said he gave them talents according to their several ability, to 1-5, to 1-2, and to 1-1. Not everybody has the same ability in the church. Not everybody can be a 100-fold man. But you might be a 60. Might even be a 30. But if you're a 30-fold man, you better do 30-fold. And if you're a 100-fold, you better do 100-fold if you can do all of it. And some people just have more ability in the church than others. That's why he gave them talents according to their ability. And you remember the one talent man buried his talent, and the Lord said, take that unprofitable servant and cast him into outer darkness. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth because he didn't do what he should have done. He's only a one-talent man. And even if you're a 30-fold man, if you don't bring forth a 30-fold, the Lord's going to say, take that unprofitable servant who's a member of the church and cast him into outer darkness. There's weeping and gnashing of teeth because he didn't do what he could do. And that's the trouble in the church. We have brethren and we have people not doing what they could do. God doesn't expect you to do something you can't do. He never has. But bless your life, he expects you to do what you are able to do. Now do you see the significance of the parable of the sower? Which man are you? One, two, three, four. You know. God knows. I may not know. But God knows. And if you're not a number four man, you need to be. He says that this number four, as we read in the Bible, he said it is a good ground, and they which with an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. And Matthew's account gives those numbers of 100-fold, 60, and 30. And so God expects us to obey the gospel and Revelation 2:10, be faithful unto death. What Jesus is telling us here is that some people hear the gospel and never obey it. Some hear it and last just for a short while and then they fall away. Some hear it and they obey the gospel, but the devil works on them and chokes the spiritual vitality from them as members of the church so that they do not get their heart into the work and worship of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Someone says, preacher, have you seen all three bless your life, I have seen it all of my life. It's right here in West Boonville. It's right here in Boonville, Mississippi. It's right here, my friend. We have some right here. You don't have to go far to find man number 1, 2, 3, and 4. But if you haven't obeyed the gospel, what you need to do is not only obey the gospel, but you need to take those talents, whether they're 5 or 2 or 1, and you need to gain more. Because when you do, the Lord will pat you on the back and say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joys of the Lord." That's what he said. He'll pat you on the back at the day of judgment. And he'll say, "Enter thou into the joys of the Lord." But if you're like the one talent man, and you say, "Lord, I knew you as an austere man, and I knew you as this and that, and I buried the talent, and I'm going to give it back to you," that's going to be a sad day. Take that unprofitable servant and cast him into outer darkness. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, do you understand that? Do you understand the language of the Lord? Well, that's what he said. That's what he said in Matthew 25. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, you ought to be. But not only should you become a Christian, you need to imbibe into yourself the principles of the Lord Jesus Christ, grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, and be a great worker in the kingdom of God, and if possible, be a hundredfold man. But if you can't be a hundredfold man, be whatever you can. If you're here today and you're subject, our prayer and our humble prayer is that you'll obey the gospel of the Lord, or you will renew your allegiance to God through repentance. We hope you will. Shall we stand and sing the invitation song?